Welcome to Dream Business Radio, the place to create your dream business now. Get ready for some inspiration, some encouragement, some proven business building strategies, and a couple of new ideas
that you haven't even thought of.
It's time to leave Slow and Steady as She Goes to the other entrepreneurs, because this program is all about speed and fast results. And now, broadcasting from his floating home somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean, the dream business coach himself, Jim Palmer.
Hello, everybody. I am Captain Jim Palmer. Welcome to another fantastic episode of Dream Business Radio. As I said, I'm your host, Captain Jim Palmer, the dream business coach, coming to you today again from beautiful and sunny Florida. We're here for about another 3 weeks or so. Anyway, I'm the founder of the Dream Business Mastermind Coaching Program, creator of No Hassle Newsletters, and host of Dream Business Radio in its ninth year. This is episode 592. I have a very special guest. I'm going to say a very super special guest this week, Carmen Torres. Carmen, how are you doing today?
Great, Jim. And I'm coming to you from sunny California.
So it's sunny all the way around. So if it's snowy or cold where you are, you're in for a treat, because we'll remind you about the weather. Anyway, hey, folks, this episode of Dream Business Radio is brought to you by the Dream Business Mastermind and Coaching Program. If you're an entrepreneur, a small business owner who wants to grow a more profitable business faster, if you want to learn how to create multiple streams of revenue, something I'm very good at, and if you want to learn how to charge what you're worth so you too can work 3 days a week, then you want to be part of this extraordinary group. This is its final year for the Dream Business Mastermind and Coaching Program. You can learn more at dreambizcoaching.com, dreambizcoaching.com. Stand by at the end of today's show, assuming I remember, I'm going to tell you how do you get free copies of all of my dream business books. Let me properly introduce my guest, and we'll jump right into the very, very hot, sexy topic of HR. Anyway, Carmen Torres has fast become a trusted advisor for countless emerging business owners. Carmen brings over 20 years of valuable experience helping business owners in many industries create equitable, safe, and collaborative workplace environments for both employers and employees. Carmen's unique approach includes a 360 analysis of the human resources function that results in building job descriptions, policy and procedure manuals, conflict resolution, employee retention, and separation structures, just to name a few. Carmen brings a deep understanding of the complex and ever-changing world of managing human beings and meeting regulatory requirements, which is the number one reason to get her on your team, while maintaining the organizational mission, achieving business goals, and meeting quality standards, a perspective that converts her into an invaluable resource. Carmen often speaks in and around Southern California on topics such as HR essentials for employers, prevention of sexual harassment in the workplace, employees versus contractors, the benefits of a handbook, and so much more. And by the way, she is open to traveling to exotic places to speak, not just Southern California. So anyway, Carmen, once again, welcome to Dream Business Radio. We haven't been on in quite a while.
It's been a while, Jim. I'd say at least a year, maybe a little bit longer.
And the reason I've extended another invitation, not simply because you've always provided some great entertainment and information, I should say, is you're a published author. Show everybody a copy of your book, which I have promoted all over my social media. So that is super exciting.
Thank you.
Look at that. Look at that. Yes. So Carmen, I'm guessing that when you were in high school pondering your big career move, you didn't wake up one day and go, I can't wait to be an HR specialist.
Oh my gosh.
What did that look like? How did you get into become my HR specialist?
You know, I think it happened mostly as I do remember being the executive assistant to the CFO at a pretty large company. And at that time, I was helping in different areas. Payroll happened to be one of them. And then it just so happened that I started becoming the liaison for the Spanish-speaking team members in the warehouse and communicating information to them before you know it. And mind you, back then when I started working in HR, it was actually personnel. So, I became just the liaison for employees. I really loved working with team members and helping communicate policies and benefits that they're entitled to.
So you really learned, I mean, feet to the fire, so to speak.
Yes, definitely. And when I realized that it was something that I wanted to take on full time, I actually decided to step down and, take a position as a HR assistant because it was just really difficult to get into HR. But I thought, well, you know, I'm going to take a pay cut and I'm going to move into a company who's really going to be able to provide me the support and the tools and resources that I needed to, you know, gain more experience. And I also went back to school and picked up my certification in human resources management from Loyola Marymount University Extension Program in Los Angeles.
Okay. I got to notice that for some reason we're not streaming on LinkedIn, but if you're on LinkedIn, I can't tell you to, because you're not seeing me. So we'll just get it reposted. I just thought I'd share that little bit of information from the production side. Anyway, so I know you work with emerging business owners on just a whole wide variety of topics. The reason I know this, folks, I always use, in full disclosure, Carmen and I have known each other for a very long time. She's been a client, a friend for, I'm thinking 10 years now at least, right? Maybe a little bit longer.
Actually, just under 10 years, but we are definitely, you know, getting to our 10-year mark.
Yeah, and so I ask these questions for your benefit, the listening and viewing audience. So you work with emerging business owners on a, like I said, hiring and recruiting, performance management, training and development, employee separation, which is a big one, right? So that doesn't come back to bite you.
Yes.
And when we say emerging businesses, I think you mentioned, and I think I saw it in the book also, that somewhere between 5 to 40 employees, that's kind of the sweet spot for your service.
The sweet spot for my service is between 5 and 20 employees. And what I have found is that when it comes to emerging businesses, it's typically between even 0 employees because, you know, they're getting ready to bring on a team, so we can still support them with developing their policies and the procedures, what kind of benefits they want to be able to offer. So with emerging businesses, what I find that it's typically 1 to 5 employees or so.
Okay. I definitely want to ask you about the book. Well, let's just go there right now. So you just published a book called The Smart HR Solution, How to Avoid Legal Challenges, Costly Fines, and Lawsuits in an Ever-Changing Workplace Environment. Now, I know you published the book as information. It's a great resource. It's a great way to share some of your knowledge with people who aren't clients right now, but also it's obviously a book is a wonderful marketing tool. So I know you're using it in that way as well. So you created this acronym called SOLUTION. Acronyms, obviously, S-O-L-U-T-I-O-N. The first thing I want to ask you when you work with a new client, well, first of all, let me ask you this. How do you normally get your clients? People go, hey, I think we need HR now, or what's the typical way they reach out to you?
So typically, most of our new clients come from referrals, and the referrals are either from current clients or past clients. Also, you know, my great support team, you know, I work with a lot of amazing workers' comp brokers, and workers' comp brokers tend to, you know, be able to refer their clients to us as well. And, you know, sometimes just from speaking and sharing about employment laws, if I'm doing a webinar and, you know, someone might be interested, but most of the time they're coming as a referral when they are, you know, in dire need of support because they've probably received a claim on their desk and they don't know how to handle it.
You know, that's really what I was going for because being a typical entrepreneur myself, I don't need that. I don't need the CPA. I don't need this. And all of a sudden you get yourself in a really sticky wicket and then you have to reach out for somebody. So it's kind of like a hair on fire emergency. And I know because we've talked about this, sometimes people come to you and they're like, oh my God, I just got this notice. I'm facing a humongous fine or being sued or, you know, some kind of an employee situation. And the S in solution, which is in your book, is survey, take stock of the current situation. One of the words that I like to use is triage. Can you talk a little bit about what would be the first steps if somebody reached out to you in that situation?
Right. Well, you know, the first steps, Jim, is really to help them determine like, okay, what is their immediate need? Because it's the reason why they're, you know, looking out for us. So, okay, what is the immediate need? When they share with me, they're like, okay, I have a, let's just say a claim, you know, for wage and hours, because this one's very typical. And what that means is that it's usually that they are being sued or audited on their, how they pay overtime. Do they give breaks in meal periods, or maybe they do give them, but are they properly documenting them? These are some of the things that, you know, that are coming up. But what happens with those is that it seems like, oh, okay, well, you know, no big deal, just fix it. The thing is that they're able to go back 3 to 4 years. And what happens is that then they add fines and penalties and all these fees that add up to so much. And unfortunately, if the client, you know, the business does not handle it right from the start, it's going to become a problem. So what we do is that we assess, you know, or triage, right, what is going on. And through that, usually within the first time that we begin to look at the records, we realize where they made a mistake, you know, where they could have done things a little bit different to minimize the, that risk with the fine that they may be coming up to.
So I don't want to ask an unfair question, but I remember a couple of years ago, somebody was referred to that was facing some gigantic fine. And you literally, I think within 24 hours or 48 hours, you had set up a meeting with an arbitrator or something and literally walked out with a much better solution. I don't know what you can tell. I thought it was a remarkable story.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, there are a couple of them. One of them was several years ago, probably 6 years ago, Jim.
Okay.
And that one was where they called and they said, I have a court date tomorrow and I don't know what to do. I know you're not an attorney, but, you know, it's with a administrative judge and I have to show up and I don't know what to do. So I did. I went into just, you know, immediate instinct, like, okay, send me this information, send me that information. I reviewed everything. We met 2 hours before their scheduled time. The scheduled time was 8:30 in the morning and we met at 6:30 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, just so that we can go over everything, I could make sure I understand. I understood what was happening is that they made an error that could have been made by anyone. Mm-hmm. So the way we approached it with the administrative judge, because I was able to see where the error was made, I was able to understand how the employer was thinking about the way they classified their employees, that I was able to share that with the administrative judge. The administrative judge then said to them, you know, I get it, we understand. Their fees at that time were probably in the range of about, you know, $25,000 or so. And we actually were able to get it down to probably less than a couple of thousand. I don't recall the exact amount, but it was less than a couple of thousand because the employee settled for the amount that we, you know, like owed them or, you know, didn't pay them
right.
properly.
Instead of continuing it, sure.
Yes.
That's a
yes,
great story. Right? And you know what? You know what's you know, it's interesting, and I'm always impressed when you can step up like that. Well, first of all, it shows your incredible knowledge, but it also strikes me that I've never heard a story where you said, nope, I'm too busy, can't do that. Somehow you do that. And in full disclosure, because this is a show about building your dream business, that's one of the ways you get clients. Like a lot of people get referred to in general because they feel they get so big, they feel a need for HR, like the business owner's like, well, I don't know what happened. Well, we let somebody go and they claimed we didn't, you know, so there's that. And then there's also the hair on fire emergency. Probably be nice if more business owners actually looked at this proactively, but whatever, we don't always do that. Right.
Right. Because they don't need the support at that time. Right. You know, just like when they say, you know, get a business loan or open a line of credit before you need it, because when you need it, it's going to be tough. It's going to be more expensive. You're not going to have access to it immediately.
And I personally know several people, folks that Carmen's worked with, that have actually all been part of this group. Of course, my daughter, Jessica Rhodes, Interview Connections, Hazel Ortega, who I'm sure you're familiar with, Dr. David Phelps, have all used Carmen's services. So she not only works in Southern California, she can work nationwide. So I want to ask you about, because you touched on it a minute ago, about employee classification. Certainly, pre-COVID, people went to work. And then with COVID, you worked from home. Not that that necessarily changed their status, but there was a lot more people doing subcontracting work, 1099 work. When is it okay for us, and I've used subcontractors the entire time I've been an entrepreneur, when is it okay to make sure you keep them as a 1099? And when are you kind of in that gray area where they should be like a W-2 employee leading to a potential sticky wicket?
Absolutely. That's a great question. So, you know, one way to determine is, you know, one of the easiest questions that you can ask yourself is this independent contractor working on any part of my core business, right? Mm-hmm. What is my core business? So let's just say, for example, you are an office who, or you're a restaurant, okay?
Okay.
You're a restaurant, fast food restaurant, and, you know, you're serving food. If that person is working in there, making tacos or burritos, whatever it is, like they're going to be your employee, right?
Okay.
But if that person is the janitor, you know, pardon me, not the janitor, rather the plumber who comes in because you had a plumbing issue in your bathrooms, then, you know, you can have a plumber as an independent contractor to periodically come in and check your plumbing situation.
Because he's paying for a specific service, not ongoing.
Right. That is, you know, it's in your business and they're working for you, but they're not, you know, the plumbing is not technically part of your core business. Your core business is selling tacos and burritos.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that's one way to determine, you know, are they working on the core of your business?
So using your example, if someone came in even part-time, oh, I need somebody on a Tuesday night or we're short Thursday morning, came in 2-3 hours, helped with food prep. That person is core to the business. They need to be a W-2 employee, even if they're, you know, considered not all the time.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And you can hire them on a part-time basis. You can hire them on an as-needed basis. You can hire them for 5 hours a week, but they still have to go through the employee process as a W-2.
One of the things I know you talk about in your book, Carmen, and I was actually a little stunned with this in this digital age, but you do a lot of work creating and maintaining handbooks for small business owners. When you're doing that, are they digital or do they need to have a printed copy somewhere, or are they do they still hand out printed handbooks to new employees?
Yes, absolutely. Many of our clients do. And, you know, I suggest it for a couple of reasons. I know it might seem a little old school, but the truth is, look, a lot of our clients, you know, they have teams who perhaps don't have access to computers on a regular basis, or maybe they can't download a handbook on their, you know, cell phone. So it's also the best way for you to protect yourself by physically being able to give something to someone. Or if you do it electronically, make sure that you have them sign, you know, there are systems where they can electronically acknowledge receipt of that handbook. So, you know, make sure that you do your due diligence to ensure that everyone has access, that no one can say, well, I don't, you know, have access to a computer, so I didn't really look at the handbook, or yes, I clicked on it and signed, but the truth is I don't, you know how to read in English. So not only do you want to make sure they have it, you also want to make sure that they have it in a designated language. And usually, most of the time, it's in Spanish.
Let's talk about employee separation. I know a couple of my clients, I'm certainly not going to name them, and I've referred them to you, that when you're going to be separating from an employee, there are certain steps you need to take. I assume it varies by state, but it's not just, hey, see you later. Even in a what do they call it, no fault or a state where you can be let go for any reason.
Yes.
At will. Thank you. So what's the deal? Why is it so important for employee separations to be done correctly?
So, and I'll share briefly, right? At will, what does that mean? At will means that both the employer and the employee have the right to terminate the employment relationship with or without cause for any reason and without notice. Now, the employer in the past maybe always required employees to provide a 2-week resignation notice. Mm-hmm. With at will, you don't want to do that. You can suggest it, but you cannot require it from your team members. On the employer side, in order for it to be at will, it just has to be that as long as it's not for discriminatory reasons. So what happens is that companies who are under this type of act, you know, the At Will Employment Act, they did say, well, hey, I have the right to terminate. We're at will state. Okay, yes, you do have the right to terminate. However, don't forget that last month, the employee you want to terminate today filed a workers' comp injury. You know, they were injured. They're on workers' comp right now. or, you know, so you just found out someone was pregnant, you know, someone is pregnant and they're in the early stages, those could become discriminatory reasons and reasons why you're going to receive a wrongful termination in a few weeks. So you have to be very cautious. You know, recently we had a situation with a client who had a much older person who'd been working with them for about 30 years, you know, and it was time to make some changes in their department. They no longer had the clients that she was supporting. And so her core of the business, she was only supporting 20% of her usual load. Oh. And he wanted to let her go, you know, and through a layoff. So even when you lay off someone, you know, they're eligible for unemployment benefits and, you know, perhaps even severance pay. However, there's still potential that there could be a wrongful termination because age discrimination could come into play. So there's so many things to consider before processing a termination, Jim.
So do you, how does that work if somebody, let's assume somebody's a client, they're part of your company. I know you have different programs. People can hire you sometimes a la carte, or you have monthly programs mm-hmm. where they can, you work with them. They have access to you for answers and stuff. Suppose somebody reaches out and say, hey, I got to terminate this employer. It's no good. You and let's say they're in Nevada. Do you have to, I don't imagine you have 50 states worth of unemployment.
Oh my gosh, imagine that.
You probably have to do a little digging to see what's going on currently yes. in that state. But then how do you walk somebody through that? Do you have forms? I mean, do they have to like document? I'm just curious how elaborate is that procedure?
Absolutely. So what we do, you know, first when you, if you want to terminate someone, you know, relatively soon, we're going to ask you a variety of questions. Have they filed a claim or have they been injured on the job? You know, is there a potential workers' comp, you know, that could come up? Have they complained about harassment, you know, or complained about the performance? Have you had to write them up recently? Or we determine what is the reason we, you know, you want to terminate? Well, I want to terminate them because they're within their 90 days and they've been absent so many times and, you know, it's time to let them go. So then
and I'm sorry to interrupt you, Carmen, but I have to assume that if they have complained about harassment anywhere in the 60, 90 day past, you better not be firing them right away. Right?
Absolutely. And look, it's not that you can't, it's that you just have to take the appropriate steps to make sure okay. that, first of all, that you did your due diligence in, you know, auditing or just reviewing the terms of that situation. But I definitely do not recommend that you terminate someone who has filed any sort of a claim or complaint, you know, within the last 90 days or even up to 6 months. So, okay. but if you do have someone who you want to terminate because they're always absent or they're always late, what kind of documentation do you have? Have you written them up for it? You know, how many is too many? You know, and when someone says like, oh, they're absent all the time or they're late all the time, and then I ask them, okay, let's check out their attendance records for the last 3 months or the last 4 months. And I look, and you know, it's within the number of hours that they have available for sick time. It's within the number of time that they have available for vacation time. So I said, look, these are their benefits. They're entitled to that time. So we cannot terminate them. You know, they're entitled to that time. However, where it makes a difference, Jim, is you have someone who has now exhausted their sick time or they've exhausted their vacation time. And now they're going, you know, let's just say your vacation time is 40 hours, you know, for the year. And now they're taking, you know, almost 80 hours of time off and, you know, double the time of sick time as well. Well, yes, now you can start documenting that. But the important piece here is that you want to notify them, you know, Carmen, you know, been checking your time records and noticed that you've been out three times in the last 2 weeks and you've been late five times in the last, you know, 2 weeks. So this is not acceptable. Here's a corrective action. We want you to correct your actions. And, you know, if this happens again, you're either going to get another corrective action, suspension, and even termination, Jim, just depending on how much it happens and how severe the situation is.
And I can imagine, I've never had employees. I've always had subcontractors, but in my former position, like, listen at will state, this guy's out of here. And I had to get told from corporate, no, that guy's not out of there. This is what we're going to do. Because I think, you know, every business, emerging business, even if you got 20 employees, starts usually a solopreneur building, then he gets an assistant or a helper, or he starts building a team if he's plumber, restaurant, whatever. And suddenly these different things will come up that it's not your forte. It's not how you built your business with the skill set that you have. And that's why, you know, connecting with somebody, that's why connecting with somebody like you in the HR field and or an attorney or CPA is so smart. So there's our buddy, Phil. All right, Phil.
Hi, Phil. Phil, I saw Jim too.
He has certainly fired a lot of people in his life. I'm kidding. So I know when you do interviews, I would always hate when I'm being the guest. Oh, what's the one thing, right? That's the one thing. So I don't want to ask you the one thing question, but what are two or three things? How about that? The two or three main reasons somebody suddenly goes, oh my God. Well, and I'm as an emerging, with your client being emerging businesses, they don't have a $80,000 a year, $100,000 a year HR person, right? Yeah. So then they end up reaching out to you as somebody who can kind of take that position on a part-time or ad hoc basis. Super long question. Sorry about that. So what are the one, two, or three reasons somebody usually says, hey, I think I really need you right now, not counting the hair on fire emergency?
Yes. There would be that, you know, they are, perhaps they have a small team of, you know, three employees or five employees, and their employees are asking them about, you know, hey, what benefits am I entitled to? How much vacation do I have? Do I get sick time? And so they're starting to ask questions, you know, oh, what holidays are paid? Do I get this holiday off? So they're like, hey, you know what? I think we're ready to, you know, get to the next stage. And what is the next stage? The next stage would be a handbook in a situation like that, because the handbook is where you can hold all of those details, all that information that you can share with your team members. It talks about policies that they should be following, and it also shares responsibilities that the employers must provide to their employees. So the handbook is one of the first areas that we start with. Another one is performance improvement plans or performance evaluation program. You know, when you have a team and you have goals set in place and you want them to start having some long-term goals, then you're ready to get into performance management.
And, you know, I guess what you're talking about there is onboarding and retention. That's this, that's that side of personnel. So I want to ask you about, we got about 3 minutes left, Carmen. So yes. In the retention, you know me, I'm all about retention. That's how I started my whole career in business. So how, which is a very good reason to invest in somebody like you, if they come on board correctly, if you're maintaining right the work environment, they're going to stay longer, most likely, or it's going to assist in that function. What are some of the things that you do? I mean, do you go in and do talks? Do you mediate? Like, how do you help with the retention part of employee?
Yes, we do. And, you know, sometimes it's, you know, we do workshops on communication skills and workshops on actually one of the things that we do that I feel is critical is that we come in and we meet your team, we go over your benefits, we go over the handbook. And when we do that, your team gets to know who we are. We start to nurture that relationship with them, so that when they do have questions, they can come to us. And when we do have to talk to them about a sensitive topic, they know that it's coming from, you know, a place of fairness, because we've already talked to them about the policies that they must follow. But that is something that we love to do, because we want your team members, right, to know who we are, to know what we do, and to be able to trust us.
You know what else? I learned this when I was helping run that franchise many years ago now. But so I was in charge of supporting the franchise. And then once in a while, accounting would say, hey, Jim, this guy's behind his bill. Can you talk to him? I said, no, I can't. I have a relationship with this person outside of the financial aspect. I don't want to squash that or, you know, make it weird. So in some cases, I think it would be so beneficial for a small business to bring you in to not only handle some of the tough conversations, but also make sure fewer tough conversations have to be had, right? So that saves the owner or whoever their direct boss is to keep that working relationship good. Again, I apologize, my questions are horribly long today, but is that true? Is, you know, having the specific role makes it better in the workplace?
Yeah, so what, and you know, one of the things that actually we've had situations where people have only used our services for separations. Okay. Or for performance management. And, you know, we address that for you, because what we want is we want you to have good, solid communication with your team. And if you're pulled away from that part of the process, then you're able to connect with them. You're able to have, you know, a good relationship. They trust you. And again, because they know that you're not making decisions based on what you know of them, but rather that you've outsourced it to someone who is going to apply the policies based on what they are.
And not only that, I would put my coaching hat on and say this: if you stay focused on high revenue generating activity, which is you running and marketing a business and not mired in HR, that's also another benefit of having Carmen on your team. So Carmen, hold up your book, please, and tell people where they can get a copy of it.
So you can grab your copy on Amazon, and the Smart HR Solution. I'm super excited. Thank you for all the support, Jim. I'm just so grateful. Thank you.
Oh, you're awesome. And I know it's going to help an awful lot of people. And folks, the idea behind books like this, it's to give you a taste of what's possible when working. I mean, there's some concrete solutions in there, but it also should make you think. When I was helping Carmen with the book, I want you to think about why you need to have somebody like this in your team, because the hair on fire emergencies are no fun, right? We want to avoid those. But if you ever find yourself in one of those, Carmen's who you need to reach out to. Carmen, so they can get the book at Amazon, and your website is?
www.myhrspecialist.com.
MyHRspecialist.com. Carmen, so much fun having you on. Great to see you again. Congratulations on the book, and thanks for coming on today.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for everything.
Hey folks, so connect with Carmen, and I really, really, she gets my highest recommendation. Connect with her at myhrspecialist.com. No S, myhrspecialist with a T, .com. You can connect with me at getjimpalmer.com. And again, if you're interested in learning more about the Dream Business Mastermind, that's Dream Biz Coaching, Dream BIZ Coaching. This episode will be rebroadcast in its infamy on YouTube starting tomorrow. Oh yeah, you can get free copies of the six Dream Business Building books at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, which are Nook books, and they're also in the iBook store. But that is it. Until this time next week, yes, I have another fantastic guest. Mr. Paul Ross will be joining us next week. So until then, I am Captain Jim Palmer. I am the Dream Business Coach, and you take good care.
Now it's time to go implement what you've learned. Great ideas are nice, but results only happen through action and implementation. So stay focused. Kick all distractions to the curb.
Sleep a little less if you have to.
And create your dream business now so you too can live your dream lifestyle. To learn about building your dream business, join Jim's free Dream Business Facebook community at dreambizgroup.com. That's dreambizgroup.com. See you next week for more Dream Business Radio.